need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, you can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, all you children sex, and we are all children of sex with a capital X. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get an A women?
A women.
And sex from procreation, which takes up about this much of sex, to recreation, which takes up this much, and relationships, which takes up even more. We talk about it all on this show, the Dr. Susan Block Show, broadcasting live from the Little Love Church of the Bonobo Way in the village of Bonoboville. Yes, indeed, brothers and sisters, we are here for you. And if you're tuned in live, well, there's good and there's bad, and I heard Amazon was burning, and I was momentarily excited until I realized it was the wrong one. Now, I could have said that, but it was actually Counterpunch editor Joshua Frank. Thank you, Joshua. And really, too bad it wasn't Jeff Bezos' monstrosity, and I'm not talking about his pecker. It's the original Amazon, brothers and sisters. The rainforest, one of the great lungs of the earth. The other being the Congo rainforest, where the bonobos are. And this one is being decimated, just like that one, by human encroachment. And right now, this one, the Amazon in Brazil, our hemisphere, is burning. Our lungs are burning. I can almost feel it. I know the people in Brazil can feel it. The raging fires, they're not just a natural phenomenon. It's a crime scene. And the victims include indigenous people, the original Amazonians, and the living biosphere itself, our mother, the earth. And the president of Brazil, Jair Bolsonaro, the Brazilian Trump. Drumpf. I am going to smack him around tonight. Whoa. Oh, I didn't mean to smack her. But anyway, I'm going to smack him. And they're just burning the rainforest. And meantime, our plastic pollution has turned the entire ocean into a garbage bin. And it's a sea of plastic and oil spills, all of which is deadly to all of the creatures of the sea and us eventually, because we eat those creatures of the sea. But many creatures are dying from our oil spills and our plastic, including dolphins.
No.
Cute, adorable, smart, interesting dolphins. And speaking of dolphins, We are going to talk about dolphin sex tonight. That's right. Our guest tonight will be Malcolm J. Brenner. We should get him on the line. Photographer and author of the book Wet Goddess, Reflections of a Dolphin Lover. Yes, yes, dolphin lover. And he's also the subject of a video called Dolphin Lover. And it's subtitled The Real Shape of Water. You could say Malcolm is a zoophile. You could. And even though he has had relationships with women, the most important relationship of his life was with a dolphin named Dolly. Trigger warning. And you can turn the music down. And also there's static in my ears. Can you turn the static down, please? So I got a trigger warning. This show could be disturbing to some people. Obviously, people who are upset by zoophilia, and that's a lot of people. And by the way, zoophilia, which is a little bit different than bestiality, but related, it's the erotic love that some humans, basically have for some non-human animals. Of course, we humans are animals, but we generally just have sex with each other, not with non-human animals. And believe me, I'm not saying that zoophilia is just fine. And I'm not encouraging anyone to have sex with non-human animals. Many people who do actually hurt the animals. And in most cases, some cases at least, this is animal abuse. But not always. Not always. And as a sex therapist, I try to keep an open mind about just different sexual interests and fetishes and activities. And I'm against anything non-consensual. And you know, some people, some very few maybe, I don't know how many, who would have sex with a non-human animal, would never hurt that non-human animal or do anything non-consensual with that non-human animal. Now, you may ask, and I understand, how can a non-human animal possibly consent? And that's a very good question. Consent in our language, in our understanding, in our communication. And it's all I can say so far is it's a little complicated, and we're going to talk about that with our guest, Malcolm J. Brenner, who I think is up there on our webcam and Skype. And I believe from the very little that I know about him, and I've never actually met him. I've seen his videos and read some things. And I don't think he would deliberately hurt any creature, human or animal. But he did have a sexual experience. You could even say it was a romantic experience with a dolphin. And yeah, I have a floaty dolphin here.
Wow, we have so many dolphins
here. Harold, get off my lake.
This one matches my outfit.
Get off my lake.
Oh, there's another dolphin crawling up Max's leg.
Oh, my God, really?
We've got dolphins everywhere, actually. We have floaty dolphins. And
I have a dolphin on my cheek.
You have a dolphin on your fingernails, too.
Oh, I have dolphins on my
cheek. And Sunshine also made dolphin cookies.
Oh, dolphin cookies.
Uh-huh. Dolphin so cookies. Eat dolphin cookies. Don't eat dolphins, okay? anyway, I thought it would be interesting... enlightening.
Hello.
Are we okay? Technically? Yeah. Okay. I thought it would be interesting and enlightening to hear and explore Malcolm J. Brenner's story. So welcome to the Dr. Susan Block Show, Malcolm.
Well, thank you very much, Susan, for having me on. It's nice to be here. I don't often get a chance to talk with a certified sex therapist.
I'm not certified. I'm very proud of not being certified. Oh. I am a sex therapist. I have two PhDs, and they're from two different universities, and I've been practicing sex therapy for over 27, 28, actually 30 years. But I do not wish to be certified, because if I was certified, I would not be able to phone sex therapy, which is my main form of therapy, and I would maybe not be able to even talk to you in the way that I'm talking to you. So I just want to clear that up. I have been invited a couple times to speak before ASECT, which certifies sex therapists, about bonobos, and I'm a member of ASECT, but I'm not certified by ASECT. So that being said, please continue.
I misspoke.
That's okay. I'm supposed to research you. You don't have to research me.
Great. Is that sunshine with you?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm on that side. Hi, Malcolm. I'm the one you've been talking to. I've been talking to you forever.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I just want to give a big shout out to Sunshine for trying to get a marine biologist on this program with me. I'm sorry that science is so stuck up that you couldn't get one to come on.
Well, we don't want to start with negativity. So I've done research. We may have a marine biologist on another time. We do this show every Saturday night. And we talk about sex mostly between humans, but we also talk a lot about sex between bonobos, who are almost like dolphins, although they never kill each other. They have a lot of sex like dolphins, and they're very, very pansexual, you could say. But they never kill each other. Sex seems to prevent them from murder. It helps them to cut down on violence. Now, dolphins are not the most violent creatures in the sea, but they do commit infanticide, and they're a little violent. And, but they're very sexual, and they're very, very smart. And anyway, we have you. You are not a marine biologist. You're an author. You're an artist, a photographer. We don't need a marine biologist to explain your story.
No, I don't. It starts back in 1970 when I was a...
All right, let's get into the Wayback Machine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
1970. Wow, that's a long time ago.
That's The internet was a little more than a gleam in some science fiction writer's eyes.
The military had it.
Yes, ARPANET. But, I was a sophomore student at New College, which is in Sarasota, Florida, not far from where I am now, incidentally. And I was pursuing a career in photography and film.
Yeah.
When I got asked to by a writer who lived in the community, she had recently moved there. And she had written and published a book about these dolphins at this amusement park, Florida Land, which was south of town.
Florida Land. What a place. You can't have a place like that anymore. No. They kind of exploited the dolphins, it looked like kind of fun.
This was the last of the pre-Disney amusement parks.
Was this before Flipper? This was after Flipper.
We have some. The TV show.
It was considerably after Flipper. Flipper came out in 1963.
Wow.
And that, of course, and the writings of Dr. John Lilly, who became famous later on for taking acid in a sensory isolation tank, kicked off a lot of interest about dolphins that hadn't been there for maybe 3,000 years. I think the Greeks were quite interested in them, but anyway. So I got a pass of basically a carte blanche to go to this park and do whatever I wanted, taking photographs, that is.
Yes.
And I got to know the people there. And what was unusual about Florida Land was they had one dolphin in a sea level pen. Now, they also engaged in catching and selling dolphins at this park. But Dolly was kept in a sea level pen because she went out every day with a riverboat that took people out on this little tour into the Lemon Bay, as it's called. She would swim along. She would ride the bow wave, as a matter of fact.
Hang on just a second. Abe, my headphones are really buzzing loud, so I guess I shouldn't wear them. Okay, can I hear him without the headphones? Yeah.
Can you hear me without the headphones?
Yeah, it doesn't sound as good, but it's okay. And I love my headphones, but I can't handle this buzz.
Yeah, I've got a buzz on, too.
Oh, yeah, baby. Okay, yeah, talking about LSD gives me a buzz. That right. John Lilly, he was kind of wild. Almost like Timothy Leary, who I had on my show quite a few years ago. Timothy Leary.
Yeah.
The 80s.
That was interesting. Dolly was the only dolphin outside the U.S. military that was allowed into open water to perform on free release, and then she'd go back to her pen.
Yes.
And every once in a while, you know, she'd take off with a couple of male dolphins that was swimming by and be gone for anywhere from a couple of hours to a couple of days, and then she'd come back and settle down. And that was her part of the performance. She would jump 11 feet from the water. I think I sent you some pictures of that.
Yes, pictures of her jumping for food, mostly.
Yes, well, she worked for rewards. But I never gave the dolphin anything. Uh-huh. The only thing I ever tried to reward her with was a game of catch with a rubber ball.
Okay.
And
so she liked playing catch?
Oh, very much. Yeah, they all like
playing
catch.
And so do bonobos, by the way. It's a recreational thing. It's like, it's not sex, of course, but animals like us, non-human animals, who have a lot of intelligence, really enjoy play. Anyway, so you were playing catch with Dolly.
Well, actually, I decided to turn the game of catch into a language lesson. I was going to withhold the ball until she squawked.
What a
tease. And then I was going to try to shape her squawk using conventional conditioning techniques by throwing the ball as a reward.
Okay.
So in other words, she squawked, I threw the ball. She changes her squawk a little bit, I throw it again. I was trying to shape her to say her name, Dolly. Well, in about 5 minutes, I got her to basically give a very good rendition of her name. That she got the D sound at the beginning. She got the E sound at the end.
Sort of. Now my dolphin can talk too.
Then she turned the tables on me. This is what's interesting. She began squawking at me, and I decided to try to imitate her because I figured turnabout is fair play. And this is what I mean when I talk about people being willing to take a lesson from the dolphins.
Yes.
I can't see any PhD marine biologist wanting to do that.
Exactly.
Because they always think they're higher, they think they know more, is what you're saying, so they don't want to take the lesson from the dolphins.
They're afraid of losing their job.
Oh, yeah.
Or their tenure. Tenure. Everybody needs tenure. And you can't do it's one of the reasons there's been very little study of bonobos, and certainly nothing hands-on that anybody really talks about.
Hands-on, so to speak.
Yeah. It's very controversial in the hallowed halls of academia, where people are harassing each other and students and whatnot. But yeah, this is controversial, even though it could be considered a form of research. So go on.
Well, I forgot to tell you, the beginning of doing all this, when I was first trying to get her to say her name, she was giving me a certain squawk. And
squawk.
I didn't want that squawk. I wanted
not a squeak, a squawk?
A squawk. Grr, you know, something like that.
Oh, okay.
She shaped my response until I found myself making the squawk that she had started making in the beginning.
Oh.
And when I did that, she just went nuts. I mean, she threw herself into the air and went splashing around the pen as if, you know, a really lovable but dumb dog. You've been trying to teach it a trick for a while. It's just done the trick, right? You give it a big reward.
All right.
And then a bunch of tourists arrived on the tour train that ran around the place, and they flooded down to the dolphin pen and began asking me questions like I knew something about it. And the spell was broken, and I never repeated. Well, I did try to repeat that experience once with her when my mother was visiting me and my stepfather, and because he had known John Lilly. He's an
so you sound like you were kind of a very, you know, you did a lot of things that dolphin trainers might do, but how did you wind up falling in love with Dolly and et cetera, et cetera?
Well, it wasn't because of any prior interest in dolphins as sex objects.
Not dolphins, but other non-human
animals. Other animals.
Other animals, which we're going to get to in a second, and well, in a minute. We're going to get to some of your experiences with other non-human animals. And like I said, trigger warning, everybody. If this bothers you, and I no blame, no judgment, then, you know, you can change the channel or switch the page or whatever we do. But if it does interest you, because it is an ancient subject, I mean, seriously, it's very controversial. In most cases, it's probably wrong. But humans have been having sex with non-human animals, let's just say, since there were humans.
There's like art about it, right? Ancient Greek art and ancient
Well, there's ancient
Roman
Greek art about it, mainly because that's, you know, that was a big thing that they did. The shepherds and the goat herds. And then they had mythical things like creating the Minotaur from a human woman and a bull. Supposedly all of Europe was created by the goddess Europa having sex with Zeus, the king of the gods, dressed as a bull. No, you're not a bull, but this isn't Dolly. Actually, Dolly's over there. This is Peter. But we'll talk about Peter in a moment. But in any case, I mean, there's Lita and the swan. I mean, Da Vinci did a beautiful painting of that. It's very controversial. So, again, trigger warning, but we're going to go ahead and talk about how Malcolm...
Okay. You're saying this is very controversial. Kinsey, back in the 1950s, discovered that about 1 in 6 men and about 1 in 12 women has had a sexual experience with a non-human.
Wow, that's a lot.
So this is a lot more common than you think. About 15% of the men running around.
But there might have been more farmers then. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
There might have been more people dealing with the outdoors. And in a way, sex was very taboo to talk about, but because nobody talked about it, you could have it in very taboo ways without other people.
And just never talk about it again?
Yeah, they just never talk about it.
Okay.
But nowadays, people talk about it a lot, like we're doing, and it creates more barriers, and again, I'm not judging. It's just there are more barriers in a way now than there were back in the Kinsey day. So, and you were doing this kind of in the Kinsey day. I mean, when did he come out with? He came out with male sexual sexuality in like 1950,
50 something,
and 50 something, and then female sexuality. Anyway, so you were after that, and you were in a time of very, very rampant, you could say, sexual exploration on the part of a lot of people, especially people taking LSD. But in any case, go on.
Well, I want to say that the whole sexual thing was the dolphin's idea.
The dolphin's idea. Now, yes. I don't know if I agree, but okay, go ahead.
Well, I didn't want to be a zoophile.
You didn't want to.
I wanted to be normal.
Yeah.
You know, what 20-year-old wants to be, you know, sexually different from the crowd?
I do understand.
So I had previously had a relationship with a dog. I put that out of my mind, and I decided I was going to, control things with Dolly. And I found that when you get into the water with her, there is no controlling a 400-pound dolphin.
Uh-huh. That's important to know.
One of the things I did, and I think I sent you some pictures of this too, is I met this young woman that I really wanted to impress because I really liked her.
Right.
And I took her down to the dolphin pool, and she got in the water with Dolly, and Dolly took her over to the far side of the pool and started to beat her up.
Beat her up, kind of punch her with her nose.
Yeah,
her
we
snout.
Saw those pictures.
Yes.
Yeah.
Began battering her with her snout. Mm. And I jumped into the water and threw my arm around the dolphin to restrain her so the young woman could get out.
But this is a 400-pound dolphin. So I guess she wanted to be pulled away.
I guess so. You know, it got me into the water with her.
Otherwise, you couldn't have
400
pounds.
That's the thing. You realize later on, wait a minute, this creature's been outthinking me.
Wow.
That's the way it is around dolphins if you let them be who they really are. Now, most trainers can't because they have shows to do.
Right.
And the dolphins have to perform silly routines like wearing floppy hats and jumping through rings, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And that often is a dolphin abuse, what the trainers do. They force the dolphins.
Yes, it is.
They starve the dolphins until they do the tricks.
Yes. Especially rampant in, I'm sorry to say this, in Asia and the third world, which is just consuming dolphins at a fantastic rate. They die in captivity after, you know, anywhere ranging from a few months to a couple of years over there. And they just replace them with more dolphins.
Malcolm, excuse me a second, Malcolm.
Sure.
What do you have that's rattling around?
Nothing.
Nothing?
I'm tapping my fingers?
I don't know, because we're picking up...
Tapping your fingers.
Don't tap your fingers, because it's coming through loud and clear.
Sounds like you're playing drums.
Right.
I'll put my hands on my lap. How about that?
Okay. That's fine. Yeah.
Just on your lap.
Yeah, on your lap, and we don't know what you're doing in your lap.
What do all of us do?
But, you know... You look fine now, and we don't hear the song. I mean, the song, the drumming.
The sound.
Okay, that's what it was. Yes. Overly sensitive microphone.
Okay, so you were developing this very special relationship with Dolly, and eventually you had sex with Dolly.
Well, the dolphin gradually acclimatized me to the way she wanted to make love. She treated me like a male dolphin and was very rough and kind of brusque with me.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I think she knew what I was thinking.
This is
a little known fact about dolphins, Dr. Block.
She knew what you were thinking?
They are telepathic.
Oh, they're telepathic. So then she must have known you were interested.
She did because I let something slip the first time I got in the water. She wouldn't come near me. She wouldn't come near my hands.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't let me touch her. And I thought, kind of curiously in my mind, what's the matter? You know, common human hands, we can do all kinds of things with them. And one of the things that flashed through my mind was the way a man uses hands in foreplay. But often stopped.
Your voice is cutting in and out, so I don't know if that's true just in my headphones or in general. So
I think it's in your headphones.
Okay.
So
just keep talking, and I'll listen later. No,
yeah.
I don't know.
The dolphin stopped. She looked at me, and then she swam over and let me touch her.
Oh.
And I thought, well, it's kind of weird.
Do you have
the
picture of him touching the dolphin?
Yes, I do.
And now just showing the young and sexy Malcolm at age what, 20?
So
about 20, yeah.
Yeah. And you're kind of petting the dolphin, you could say. You're not doing anything. This is nothing sexual, Marky Z, okay? He's just kind of petting
the
dolphin. Like we rub Betsy's stomach. You know, we all rub Betsy's stomach. A lot of people rub non-human animals.
She attacks
a pet, you could say
she
pet.
Attacks her.
So, anyway, that's what he's doing, and
Malcolm was
doing in the picture. And I think that was the first time she let you touch her. I'm not sure.
Yes, it went like this. Dolphins like to be rubbed because their skin is continually flaking off. That's how they can swim at such speeds. So they like to be rubbed, and I started rubbing her at her head. And she very slowly swam forward while rotating until by the time I got to her belly, she was belly up.
Wow.
And then she swam forward, and I was rubbing her vulva.
Her vulva.
And I thought, yes.
And let me just say here, for those who don't know about dolphin anatomy, that dolphins have a very pronounced clitoris on their vulva. And so do bonobos, and of course, so do human women. And this enables us to have sex for pleasure, to have orgasms during sex. So it's not just humans. A lot of people used to think it was just humans that had clitorises, but other non-human animals do. And dolphins really do. I mean, they've got pictures of the vulva and the clitoris right in, do we have it showing? Okay, so anyway, so she revealed her vulva and her clitoris.
Well, I just thought this isn't the kind of show people paid money to come to Florida Land to see. And I went back to her head again.
Right. This was not, like, Florida Land's a little bit like Disneyland.
Yeah.
And there are
like
kids there.
Rent,
so you don't want to be, stimulating the dolphin's clitoris in Florida Land.
No.
Not in front of everybody.
No, not in front of everybody. She did the same thing again.
Yeah.
And I sort of broke off. Now, from that point, she got rather more aggressive. And it got to the point where she would masturbate by rubbing her vulva against my sneaker or my naked foot if I wasn't wearing sneakers. You
okay.
have to wear sneakers because of the barnacles on the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
One time when I thought I could convince her not to do this, I just rolled up in a ball. I pulled up my legs and arms, and I thought, okay, I can hold my breath. I'm just sitting here in the water. What's she going to do now? Well, she stuck her snout in between my arms and my legs and forced me open. And then she threw herself on top of me and pushed me down to the bottom of the pool, which was 12 feet
right,
deep.
Right, which was very deep. Uh-huh. You almost died.
Yeah,
well, I looked
like
her on my back thinking, God, I hope she's not going to hold me down here until I run out of breath.
But maybe she knew that you couldn't stay down long, and then she let you up.
Of course. But she started beating up on me as I was getting out of the pool. And we had this fight. I mean, I slapped her good on the jaw. And she went away and sulked, and I went away and sulked. And
okay.
After a while, we got back together and made up. That's all I can describe.
Okay. So eventually, I mean, right before she left, I got to cut to the chase here because we happened to I mean, we started late, though, so
yeah.
I don't know how we're doing on time. How much time do we have?
We have 30 minutes.
Yeah, but we started late. Okay, so,
it's
okay.
It's almost 11:30.
Got it. So anyway, I know what time it is. I just didn't know what time we started. So anyway, back to Malcolm. So I'm sure you had lots of different adventures with Dolly, more. But then there was the consummation.
Yeah. That happened after the park had been sold to a real estate developer. 90% of the dolphins were shipped out to various shows. The only two were left were Dolly and a male dolphin named Jimbo, whom she was rather fond of.
Okay.
And they were in the same pen together, which presented a problem for me on the last day I went down there. The place was closed. There was nobody. There were a couple of workmen around, but I literally, you know, dispatched them, made them go away.
Can I sit here?
And Dolly recognized there was a problem after she threw herself in front of Jimbo to save me from getting rammed.
Oh, wow.
She went over. Dolphins won't jump over a fence. They won't do that. But Dolly went to a place where the boards were separated by a space. She exhaled, which collapsed her lungs, and she swam through that narrow space with maybe an inch on either side, and the male dolphin wouldn't follow her. Hmm. So we got some privacy. And we spent about
she had it worked out.
Just playing. Dolphins can stimulate you with their sonar.
Wow.
I had no idea.
Yes, it's called a buzz jaw, if you're ever talking to a dolphin trainer. Mention that and see what
they do. Like your jaw?
Yes, a buzz jaw. Buzz jaw.
Okay. Oh, buzz and, job. Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah. It wasn't working belly to belly, which is the way the dolphins mate. I couldn't swim under her because water would go up my nose. Mm. So I compromised, and we made love with her horizontal in the water and me vertical. And coming into her from, she seemed to prefer the left side for some reason. And I can honestly tell you it was the most amazing act of my life.
Wow.
I was so close to that dolphin, I felt like we had mind melded.
You had what?
Yeah, you had
mind melted. Our minds were no longer separate.
Oh, your minds melded together, you're saying. You felt
yeah.
like that. Okay.
Yeah, like merged. Spock on Star Trek, okay, the original
that
series.
You were one. You know? Which is what we feel when we have sex with someone we love,
yeah.
or even just really good sex, even if you don't love the person. Sometimes you do feel that oneness when you both have a simultaneous orgasm, which I think you might have had with Dolly. You had an orgasm, and you think that maybe she did too. Because she, after you separated...
I'm sure of it.
You're sure
I'm
of
sure
it.
Of it. She vocalized.
A lot of men aren't sure when women have orgasms, so I don't know.
They yeah. just play it off and pretend
what do
like
women
they
want?
Know.
I mean, that's always a question.
I knew I was getting near climax, and I saw her breathe, and she took us both about 6 feet underwater. And we climaxed there, and I heard her groan 3 times. In a rising pitch, like, oh, oh, oh. And
I thought it was more like, ee, ee, ee.
Yeah.
No?
It was a groan, not a whistle.
Not a squeak.
No.
Okay.
No, I'll squeak it.
Just my floaty toy that squeaks.
And okay. I presume that she was doing that so that the male dolphin in the other pen could hear her. I don't know what her reasons were.
Yeah,
I
yeah,
don't know
you have
why.
Reasons. You feel she had an orgasm. So let me just stop
sure
for a moment and give another trigger warning. I'm going to give another trigger warning for those who have just tuned in. And also say that if you want to call us and talk, our number is 1-866-289-7068 or 626-461-5950. And you can talk about any kind of taboo sex you want to talk about. We are talking about dolphin sex and why. You might want to know why, and I understand that because it's very controversial, but it is a fascinating aspect of sexuality that is rarely explored in public discourse, and yet it has been going on since the beginning of humanity. Humans are animals, and religion does try to deny that. They try to say we're somewhere between animals and angels, that we're not really animals, but we are. And so does capitalism try to deny our animal nature. And I'm a bit of a socialist, so I have to throw capitalism in there. But right now, seriously, we do need socialism, but we also need to reassess our relationship with the natural world, with the earth, and with our fellow animals. And mostly that does not involve sex, and that's good. But, you know, I believe we need an exploration, an expanded exploration of human-animal connections. And again, human non-human animal, because humans are animals. But this does include sexual connections. And most certified sex therapists, most marine biologists, most people will not discuss this subject. And I know that Malcolm has had some trouble with some talk show hosts that he's encountered. And I understand that, and I'm not judging them. I am a little different, and I don't judge him. It sounds like he cares. I don't know, you know, I don't agree with everything. I certainly don't agree with everything in his video. He says something in his video about now that interracial sex is considered okay, maybe human, non-human animal sex will be okay. I don't agree with that. Interracial sex is still between humans.
Yeah.
And it's just doesn't involve animals. So I stand on the total opposite side of the room. I don't know if we're going to discuss that. Yeah. But before we do, well, if we do...
Let me just make a point, if I would.
Oh, okay. Quickly.
Okay.
In this country, we eat millions of animals a day. I'm sure that those animals would be much happier if I were having sex with them than being eaten.
Yeah, I agree with that. I certainly agree with that. I agree that slaughtering and eating animals, to me, I mean, I'm not a vegetarian, so I do eat a lot of vegetables, and I try to be more vegan. I'm trying to wean myself from meat, thanks to Anna.
Anna, who does a lot of good vegan.
Anna is also becoming vegan. We're becoming vegan, and we really
take
need
a picture
to
of Anna.
Because it's wrong to eat animals, and also it's destroying the earth. It's not just that you're eating the particular animal; it's that it takes so much food to feed that animal that they have to grow, and that's why the Amazon rainforest is being decimated, because Bolsonaro wants to put gigantic corporate farms out there that, you know, basically create animal feed, grow animal feed. And farming is the root of all evil. I've said that many times. But, you know, we need to have small farms, not these big farms. And, yeah, of course, you know, it's interesting that we think it's just fine, great, to slaughter and eat all kinds of animals. But a little bit of sexual connection that is so loving. I mean, I'm not saying everybody should have sex with animals. I'm not saying anybody should have sex with animals. No. But I don't think it's as wrong what Malcolm has done. And I don't even think it's wrong at all. And in fact, now I want to talk about a little bit, just for a little bit. This could take a whole show. But Malcolm's background. Because it involves, you know, his childhood. With a, I'm a fan of the late Dr. Wilhelm Reich, but not everything. I like what he said about sexual liberation. Obviously, I'm for sexual liberation. I like what he said about the importance of orgasm. I'm for orgasms. But I don't like everything he said or did. I mean, I don't like everything any human or animal says or does. So, and I never understood one of his inventions. The orgone box. And Malcolm's story makes me feel even worse about this orgone box than I did. And I didn't know much about it, and I still don't. But apparently, at the age of 5, you were in an orgone box at the hands of Dr. Albert Duval, who was kind of a student of Wilhelm Reich, although I think Wilhelm Reich was dead by then.
No, he wasn't. 56. Oh. He would be dead by November 57, I think.
Okay, I hope he didn't molest you. Did he abuse you himself?
What?
Did Wilhelm Reich abuse you himself?
No, I never met Reich.
Okay.
Not that
excuses what happened, but Reich wasn't the one that did it, and I'm grateful for that. But I feel terrible that this Dr. Albert Duval, who was a student of Reich, he abused you and molested you when you were 5 years old.
From my earliest memories go back to about 5, and he did it from 5 until about 7, I think.
Wow.
Which is when he packed up and left for L.A., where he became a court-appointed psychiatrist and treated people like Lorna Luft and Joey Luft, Judy Garland's children. Mm. And Judy said in her autobiography, Me and My Shadows, that if her parents had known what Duval did to her brother, they would have had him killed. The man fellated me. And I also believe, because I have recovered memories of that, and I also believe he sodomized me, although I don't know for sure if he used his finger, his penis, or a glass tube stuffed with steel wool.
Oh, wow.
That was part of the Reichian's...
Well, anyway, we don't know exactly what he did, and we don't have pictures, kind of, thank God and Goddess. But
right.
We do know he abused you. I also looked up Dr. Albert Duvall, who I didn't know a lot about, and apparently there are other reports of him abusing children.
My brother is a practicing ergonomist, not from Duvall's school, fortunately.
I would hope not. It's your brother.
Yeah, my brother, yes. My brother... met a psychotherapist who had been asked to take over Duvall's patients when he died.
Uh-huh.
And they began reporting to her all of these cases of what was clearly psychiatric abuse. Now, as children, I talked to other people who were pediatric patients of his. We never get our parents to listen to us. You know
why?
Our parents were in treatment with him, too.
Oh, and he didn't do that to them?
Sounds heavily manipulative.
Not as blatantly, no. He was very controlling, very manipulating. I think he was a Svengali of a man. He was horrible. He was horrible. I can't give you a picture of how grim this man was.
Well, you've given us one. So basically, it was shortly after that you kind of developed a let's say, romantic affection for the family dog, or you saw a dog movie. Or
I saw Shaggy Dog,
right?
By Walt Disney, old black and white with Fred McMurray. And when this kid is dancing with a girl, this magic spell goes into effect, and he begins changing into a dog while he's dancing, and he's not aware of it. So he's growing like fur and stuff, and yeah, I got really turned on by that. He changes into a dog, and he runs out, still in his front.
And when you say turned on, you were pretty young, so... Did you get a little erection as a little boy?
Yes, I had an erection at 5 years old. I had
right, sexual you wouldn't ejaculate. Anyway, again, trigger warning, everybody. So if this upsets you to hear about this kind of zoophilia, or any kind, then change the channel, please. But we're talking, we're not recommending. This is a real thing that happens to people. And it also may be able to shed light in these desperate times that we're in when we need to reconnect with the earth and figure out what our relationship is to the earth and to other animals. So you attempted sex and with other animals, with the dog, it didn't work out. And then you met Dolly and it did work out. And you had this love connection, you could say.
Well, with, I need to finish the story.
No credit to Chuck Woolery, who is too much of a trumper for me. But I did do the love connection, actually. And it's now floating around on YouTube. Not because of me. I'm kind of embarrassed by it. Because they made me say bad things about the guy that I went on a date with. And I didn't think such bad things about him. Anyway, you had a love connection with Dolly. And sadly... You were separated. I say it's sad. Again, not
Let's
judging,
say,
but just hearing fact, about what happened.
Dolphins are cattle, okay? They're bought and sold. They're a commodity. They shouldn't be. They are the non-human people of the sea. I want to emphasize the fact. You are dealing with a dolphin. You are dealing with a creature that has total control of the situation, and you are more helpless than a baby. I was in Washington State going to college. I had stayed there a little longer. I had taken a summer job at the college. And one morning, I think it was in June, I woke up from a terrifying nightmare.
Yeah.
My heart literally stopped. I couldn't breathe.
Oh.
And slowly, or rather suddenly, it came back to me. I had been descending a flight of stone steps carved into a basement. And when I got to the bottom, I saw this huge field of boxes. The boxes were lined with aluminum foil, and in every box there was a dead dolphin, except for the one nearest to me.
Wow.
A dead what?
Dead,
a dead dolphin. This was his dream.
In your dream, I see.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you discovered that Dolly had actually died.
Yes.
I hate to cut to the chase, but we are
very near that date. I can't determine the exact time she died.
You had a premonition about her, and maybe she sent you one of those transmissions or something.
The fact is that the Oceanarium where she was, which is the Gulfport Oceanarium in Gulfport, Mississippi, has a big dome over it.
Yeah.
And it's very dark. There are concrete steps that lead down.
It doesn't sound like as much fun for her as Florida Land.
No, she couldn't go out. She couldn't
go out. She was in prison. She was in a prison. At least in Florida Land, even though she was a little abused with the hats and the controlling
and the tricks. She didn't have to do those tricks.
But she did have a lot of ocean to play in. And here in the Oceanarium, she had nothing. She just had water indoors. It's very sad. And, you know, she was also sad because she was missing you, I guess. I mean, I would imagine she'd be sad no matter what, like any animal is, to be imprisoned. I have mixed feelings about zoos because I've met bonobos in zoos and I've learned a lot from zoos. But zoos are basically prisons to non-human animals. And so are these
oceanariums.
Yeah.
Even more so because a dolphin's sonar doesn't work with all those blank walls around it.
The sonar doesn't work. Oh. Wow.
I had no idea.
Dolphins are voluntary breathers. They think about every breath they take. And if a dolphin goes unconscious, it doesn't breathe. So it depends on other dolphins to get its heart started again or wake it up and get it breathing. Well, Dolly was by herself. When she held her breath, she went down to the bottom of her tank. She never came up again.
Yeah.
Her trainer discovered her out there the next morning. No signs of injury, no obvious rape marks on her, nothing, no attack. She just died.
That's she really died. Sad. She killed herself.
Of her
she was despondent. She didn't have you.
Trainers.
And she was in this prison.
Say this happens.
Terrible prison. The sonar wasn't working. Nothing was good. So she just went going to dolphin heaven. So I hope she's in dolphin heaven, even though I don't believe in that. But,
I don't believe in it either, but I had a hell of a problem with her coming back after death and wanting to be with me.
Oh, visions of her. Ghosts. Yeah, I can imagine.
And every time she came back, the emotional wounds that were healing would crack open and I'd start bleeding again. So finally, I had to ask her to leave me alone.
Mm. Wow, and did she?
Describes that scene.
And she did.
Did
she leave you alone?
She has ever since.
Okay.
Well, if you love someone, you let them go.
So who knows if it's a ghost or just a dream, but you've done some good therapy on yourself, I guess. And you've been with women? I mean, you have a daughter, right?
I do have a daughter. You know what's funny? I estimate that about 98%.
I mean, is she your biological daughter? Is she your biological daughter? You're skating past her.
She's my biological daughter.
So you had sex with a woman to have this daughter?
Yes, my first wife.
Okay.
Okay.
And so you've had different wives. Do they know about Dolly the dolphin? Do they know about you?
The kid designs the covers for my books.
Oh, okay.
Those book covers are really good. I'd like to show them if possible.
Okay, let's show the book covers.
Well, I have one of the book covers.
Well, one of the book covers, just basically the dolphin book.
My books are available on Amazon. I've written two other books, by the way, Growing Up in the Orgone Box, which was about my youth.
Right.
And a UFO novel, Melchior, An Interstellar Affair,
if you want to get
which
the book
is kind of funny, actually.
But we're here to talk about dolphins right now. Although the background, it's interesting to know about your abuse. And I would say it certainly was part of the reason, maybe not the whole reason, that you are a zoophile and that you fell for Dolly. And you're obviously someone who's had sex with women. You can get a hard-on. I guess you didn't take Viagra because they didn't have it in those days. So you can have sex with women. But Dolly really turned you on and captured your heart in a way that I guess no human woman could.
It was like this. We were both aware, while we were making love, while I was inside her, that we were crossing a line between our species. She was aware, I was aware, we didn't care. We were lovers. We wanted to make love.
I don't know if I'd speak for a non-human animal myself,
No.
but I respect that you felt that. What was
that,
Max?
The whole issue of consent.
I don't want the guy to think he's alone in the world.
Yeah,
farmers have sex with pigs.
Yeah.
Some people are touched by the death of their dog.
Yeah.
They never had sex, but it traumatizes the rest of their fucking life.
Yeah.
And by the way, absolutely. Yeah.
So
people fall in love with their dog.
Shepherds have been doing stuff like that for actually centuries.
No, shepherds have not been doing stuff like
that. I mean, you didn't have sex with your poodle, Robert, but
no,
you always say you
not.
Loved him.
But I loved him. And
yes.
And I'm still heartbroken.
Heartbroken.
That I've lost.
We are,
this
you know,
friend,
humans are animals. You know? And we can develop close relationships with animals. And
my
they
Robert.
Give us a window into the world that all of our plastic and all of our oil cuts us off from and will eventually destroy if we don't do a big turnaround. So these animals, they put us in touch. Now, you, in your case, had sex. Most people don't. But our connections with animals are very powerful. Now, by the way, I want to say, real quick, Malcolm isn't the only one to have sex with a dolphin. And in the 1960s, actually, before you, there was a woman named Margaret Leavitt, part of a NASA-funded project involving the study of communication with dolphins that was supervised by more famous people, Gregory Bateson and neuropsychologist John Lilly. And she then essentially lived with a dolphin named Peter. This one is named Peter.
Adolescent boy dolphin named Peter.
A boy dolphin. And there were other dolphins there. But Peter was the one that she was focused on and trying to teach to talk. And meanwhile, he got extremely aroused. Now, see, this is a floaty dolphin, so it doesn't have a penis. And that's probably a good thing. But, you know, let's just say Margaret relieved Peter, not with his fin, but with the dolphin penises are pretty substantial.
I have a photo here if we want to show.
And that is, she masturbated him occasionally. And she makes a big point, and I respect her, of saying that she was not sexually aroused for this experience, though she felt that the activity was very sensual and helped her to get to know Peter, which she wanted to do as part of her study. And eventually, the experiments ended. Peter was shipped off to an aquarium, and
no, he wasn't. Lilly set up a new. He moved his lab from the Virgin Islands to Miami.
Okay.
And he bought a bank vault that he filled with water and used as a pool. The dolphins went in there. Peter again committed suicide.
He committed suicide.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Okay, so maybe it wasn't an aquarium, but it was another place where she wasn't. And where Peter missed her, and he also stopped breathing. And you could say, if you want, you could say he died of a broken heart. Mm. And, I mean, she did a BBC documentary about this a few years ago. And, of course, the headlines were very salacious. Not that I'm sure a lot of people think this show is salacious, so I'm sure people do. But they would say, woman reveals sex with dolphin. The woman who lived in sin with a dolphin, the dolphin who loved me. This woman jerked off a dolphin and liked it. Scientist says relationship with dolphin was sensuous. I had sex with a dolphin, even though she never actually said that.
Yeah.
Now, other researchers have masturbated other animals. And it's very controversial. They don't usually talk about it, but sometimes they do. Sometimes it's even part of the experiment. Monkeys, dogs, rats. And it was controversial in the 60s or 70s, but it was done. And these human hands-on, non-human animal techniques have a far more common application than in research. Does anybody in the class know when do humans masturbate animals and it's all considered okay? Non-human animals. I talked to you about it this morning.
Oh, so I'm cheating.
It's okay. No, you can say.
Cows, do cows count?
Cows, exactly.
Oh, yeah, cows. Yeah.
Cows and bulls and horses.
Cows till
they
do
come. It to breed the animals. They do it all the time. Farmers and ranchers do this masturbating. Now, of course, they don't get turned on, although maybe they do, but they turn the animal on, and nobody complains about that. Everybody says, hey, that's cool, because, you know, we want to eat hamburgers, I guess. But,
Andre,
you know,
Mulligan said horses.
I just think it's kind of funny that these cases don't make headlines, but allowing a dolphin to hump your foot until he ejaculates, that does. And, I mean, you know, people want to eat. We're hungry. So we think it's okay for breeding. But I don't know. I think the researchers are exploring recreational sexual pleasure in non-human animals. And apparently a lot of them love it. But most humans don't want to know about it. Trigger warning again. You don't have to know about it or hear about any other human involved in it. Yeah. Humans are funny. And yeah. Hypocritical, very hypocritical,
yeah, we're
about sexual about pleasure as opposed to everything else. So that's one reason we're exploring this today, tonight, is because of this inherent hypocrisy of humans in jacking off all these animals so that they can make more animals and we can eat hamburgers or chicken.
They not only jack off the male animals, they virtually rape the female animals.
Yes.
Because they're either artificially inseminating them or they hogtie them and breed them to a stallion, you know, in the case of horses. Oh, and it's terrible.
Sounds traumatic. Yeah.
Animals don't have anything approaching a natural sex life.
Right. No, they're not concerned about the animal's pleasure. They're just doing the sex for procreation. And one thing we're learning in this day and age, in these decades, is humans are not the only animals that have sex for pleasure. And humans are not the only animals that can be raped and feel pain. Mm. And of course, even worse than rape is being killed. Mm. So there. So, you know, anyway.
Oh, and eaten.
Oh, and then the eaten. Although once you're dead, I don't know if you care whether you're eaten or not.
Yeah,
but
still,
it's kind of, I don't know if it's not cannibalism. Obviously, cannibalism is about eating other humans. And we rightly feel that that's wrong. But, hey, you know, we also feel it's wrong when certain cultures eat dogs because we in our culture love dogs. We also feel it's wrong when people eat dolphins. But why is it okay to eat, you know, tuna, to eat cows?
Yeah,
squid?
Where are we supposed to draw the line?
Where do we draw the line? I don't know, but I think it's worth discussing. I'm not saying I know exactly where to draw the line, and I'm no paragon, because I love those little shrimp.
And even if you draw a line, that doesn't really change much.
Oh, yeah.
You can make things illegal.
I don't believe, for example, that somebody a while ago, before there was all this media, was having sex with a dolphin, or their dog, or their pig. I mean, real sex,
And meanwhile, almost 300 dolphins have died in the Gulf of Mexico waters due to the BP oil spill just this year. And chemicals in the water, pollutants, other environmental catastrophes. This is dolphin abuse. It's murder. It's record numbers of mutilated dolphins are washing up on the French coast. Fishermen trying to catch other fish, but mutilating the dolphins and maybe we're eating dolphins while they're trying to catch other fish. Some dolphins wind up in there.
Hey, why not?
Or they free them, and they're mutilated. Mm-hmm. And they wash up on the shore because it's just that this is what's really awful. I mean, what Malcolm has done is unusual and certainly not for everybody and not for most people and nothing I recommend. But to me, the mutilated dolphins are much, 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 much. How many muches can I say?
Yeah,
much worse.
Higher on the priority.
Much worse,
sister.
And let me just spank Trump while we're talking. Should I spank him with a dolphin, or is
I don't care if she wants it. Go.
Yeah. Okay. You want to help me out with spanking Trump because Trump called himself the chosen one and said
that
Jews who don't vote for Trump are traitors or not loyal. And I resent that as a Lonsman. And he's just letting his corporate cronies just pollute everything. And it's true that David Koch just died. And
you know, I'm not mourning, but I'm also not celebrating because he's a human being. He's a creature of the earth. And also because his pollution will continue. It is continuing with his sons and with Trump and with his nephew. And just, it's just dire. It's dire, brothers and sisters. And somebody having sex with a dolphin is controversial, but it's not as dire as, you know, what this presidents is doing to the earth, to our lives, to our air, and to our water. Bam, bam, bam. I don't want to hurt the dolphin too much, though.
Yeah.
Suck, dolphin. What happens with his... I gotta do it again. He needs to have his thing inside. Okay. Now we're gonna do it for real. Before
for
we
real?
Weren't really. Yeah, because he didn't have his. He has to be.
This
gagged.
Is better spanking.
So he can't speak. And of course, that is better for spanking. You can do one, and I'll do the other. This is what Stormy Daniels spanked him with. Uh-huh. The Forbes magazine that shows him and his family. Yeah. Okay.
That's a part of the show.
And by the way, my hair was just done by Mark Brown. Mark Brown, best hairstylist in Southern California. No offense to other hairstylists, of course, who we also love, but Mark is great. So, so back to Malcolm. I had to beat up Trump and also let people know that you're not the only one, that there's this Margaret Lovett, and that in general, dolphins are very, very sexual creatures, like bonobos. They have a lot of sex. They have a lot of gay sex. They have heterosexual sex. They're non-monogamous. They might fall in love, but then they could fall in love with somebody else. So... yeah, lots of different kinds of
sex. We talked about Zafar a little bit, the French dolphin.
Oh, yeah.
That was an interesting
Zafar.
Story.
That was really
He was horny.
And he got cut off from his dolphin pod.
He got kicked out of his dolphin pod. And
so
then he starts hanging out at the beach in France. And he tries to have sex with humans. And the humans are like, no, what's wrong with you? Then he started getting really sexually frustrated and started getting aggressive, you know. And then they closed down the beach in France. And this was like a news story, like, I think a year ago or something.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Zafar. But, you know, I mean, I don't think I want a dolphin, you know, kind of nosing up between my legs. So I understand why they didn't want to do it. But, yeah, okay. Dolphins are very sexual. And sometimes they push each other and people. And I'm, you know... They're not quite the bonobos.
They're not
as close to us as bonobos. And they don't really make peace through pleasure because they do kill the babies. Why do they kill the babies? Because females, when they have babies, tend to stop wanting to have sex. And so the males will kill the babies, like gorillas do, in order to get the females ovulating again and wanting sex. And that's wrong. But, you know... What can I say? Dolphins aren't perfect. And neither are we. Anyway, back to Malcolm. What do you want to convey to people?
Let's give the ocean back to the dolphins. Let's try to get the plastic out of it if we can.
Yes.
Let's stop making so much noise with our boats. Let's build quieter boats that don't pollute the seas with engine noise so the dolphins and whales can't hear each other. And let's respect them. Let's treat them like another race of people that we share this planet with. Because in almost every way, their brain size, their use of tools, their communications, it's they don't have, you know, this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, they're so much like us. It's spooky.
Yeah, it's scary. I've read about them having their own cultures and stuff and, like,
yes.
It's just insane, you know. Like certain pods will do things other pods won't do. They have dolphin culture.
They do, and it's something for us to remember that there are other animals besides us that have cultures that we're destroying. And, you know, yeah, they're sexual, sensual creatures. And even if you're against people having sex with animals, which I understand, then just understand that animals deserve to live. And certainly, I guess, dolphins are endangered species. And so I do all my dolphin fantasies with my floaty dolphins because I don't do them with real dolphins because I might be abusive because I kind of am rough with the dolphins. But, of course, they would be big and probably knock me out like they knocked out Malcolm's girlfriend.
They didn't knock her out, but they chased her out of the water.
Oh, okay.
You know, when I lived in Guam, dolphins are a little smaller.
Porpoises are smaller than dolphins.
Oh, maybe
porpoises are very similar to dolphins. I'm still not totally sure I know all the different differences because they're very subtle. And I couldn't find out fast enough if dolphins can mate with porpoises, but porpoises are smaller.
Yes, they can mate with anything in the sea.
Well,
and they can reproduce with some of them, like the dolphin false killer whale hybrid that was born in Hawaii.
Oh yeah, we talked about that at the aquarium in Hawaii. They call it a wolfin, a dolphin that had a baby with a whale. A wolfin. Yeah, like a whale
and a dolphin.
Yeah, a wolfin.
Well, at least they had a porpoise.
A porpoise, yeah, at least they had a porpoise. No. That's great, I like that.
That's bad.
I laughed at that joke.
So let's see, let's have some dolphin cookies.
I made them.
Sunshine made dolphin cookies.
Yeah.
Does anybody want dolphin cookies in the crew?
Eat a dolphin cookie?
Okay, sure. I'll have to eat one because I made it.
That's a really good one, I have to say.
Okay, can you fax one of those?
Anybody like a dolphin cookie?
I like a dolphin cookie.
Anna, Miguel, anyone want a dolphin cookie? Anybody want to eat a dolphin?
Harry's going to have a dolphin cookie.
Oh, yeah.
Anna, come up here and have a dolphin cookie. It's not a real dolphin, obviously. Although these dolphins...
Oh, it looks delicious, man. Yeah, thanks.
Oh, that's a sandwich. show the dolphin sandwich. Come on back here. And I want one of those, too, the orange one. Yeah. Yeah, these are very delicate. And they're made by Sunshine. And yeah, yay. I'm sorry Malcolm isn't able to eat them, but they're in the studio. You'll have to come visit us sometime. I have a pool, too, where I play with my dolphin floaties.
No, you know, I can't judge Malcolm. What do I know? No matter what I think, it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
It goes on. Yeah, so what are you going to do?
The bruschetta is salty, yeah. It's kind of salty bruschetta.
Now I'm chewing. Yeah. It's your chance to talk, Malcolm.
Oh, yeah. Okay, is there anything else you want to say? She's eating, so now is the time to let
because it took...
Well, the book is titled, I will mention it again, Wet Goddess, Recollections of a Dolphin Lover. It's available on Amazon. There is also an ebook version, which is available on Smashwords. I couldn't get the ebook on Amazon for some reason. They disavow zoophilia there. It's okay for me to publish it in the print book, but I can't do it in the ebook, so the ebook's on Smashwords. And if you want to read the complete story, it's all right there.
It's all right there. And there's also a YouTube video, so you can look it up on YouTube. Yep. And we have a Speakeasy Star page for you that links to all of it. So
thank you. Yes,
we do. And it's going to be there in perpetuity.
Great.
Yes.
And
long past the
right
death
now,
of the next Koch brother.
Malcolm J.
Not that I'm hoping for it. Anyway.
Oh.
Anyway, Max, this is almost as crazy as stuff that was in Love Magazine and Finger Magazine and all that.
Yeah, well, you know, to me, that's why I said it's very hard for me to judge them because people do weird things, they do wonderful things.
Yeah.
But everybody does something that makes them or gives them pleasure.
And as long as you do it with love and consent.
Yeah, I mean, if you're out, you know, if you're out on the mountain like a shepherd, and it's fucking cold, and it's just you and the goat, or you and the sheep, hey.
But do some foreplay with.
Yeah, maybe you can organize something. I don't know.
Maybe. Make sure it's consensual.
But they've been doing
that
for centuries.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, though.
It's hard to make sure of that.
They've been doing that for centuries.
I have to say that, though, and I believe that.
Well, in his case, it sounded
consensual, right? They've
been fucking
the sheep for centuries. Right.
Well, because he's so sincere sounding. Yeah. Malcolm, we're talking about you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you seem very sincere.
Yeah. No.
And we don't know. We weren't there in the water. And also, what you said about if the dolphin doesn't want to do it, she can easily swim away.
Yeah,
you're
on her
turf, are
right.
They're not
much
stupid.
Better swimmers than Olympic swimmers. So
much
they
better
can swim
swimmers
away.
Than Navy SEALs. The Navy SEALs can't even. The dolphin just rips out their respirator, rips their fins
right.
off, and rips their mask off, and pushes them to the surface.
Even though they're mammals like us, it's what's
yes.
sort of weird about. Dolphins. There's many things. Also, even the females have this spiral-shaped vagina, which is very interesting. That means that they can sometimes take a male that has sex with them. That they can almost do what that Oklahoma senator said, which is wrong about human females can't do this, but they can kind of create their own birth control by angling themselves a certain way. And yes, dolphins have sex in many different positions, not just, you know, I don't know, doggy style. In fact, I don't think they do it in doggy style.
No, I think
what we did was closest to doggy
And they
doggy
have gay
style.
Sex. Dolphins are gay, and that's okay.
Back in, I don't know if I should say this, but way back when, if you saw... In Paris, if you saw someone with a poodle, you kind of went,
Oh, so you assumed they were
poodles
doing something
love to
with
lick
poodle.
Pussies.
Oh, really?
They love it. There's nothing. Why not?
You know why they call them lap dogs.
Right, exactly.
I never heard of that.
Oh,
ever.
Come on. Lots of dogs.
I've heard lap dogs, yeah, but I've never heard
dogs
of
are always going between your legs.
Okay,
we just
have
to fight them off. But
yeah, they're
if they,
always
if
horny.
They,
they're humping your leg.
You know, they hump your leg. They go between your legs.
They
try to do
on
things.
You.
You know, and they
but
want
that's
you
all,
to play
that's
with
all
them.
A dog can ever do. The dog can never modify that behavior. And they're usually not humping you for sexual reasons. They're humping you for dominance.
Oh, yeah,
I had a
dominance.
Little dog that used to hump a male dog every night after dinner.
Well, see, I call that sexual. Because if you're rubbing your genitalia wet... When you say sexual reasons, I think you're saying they're not doing it to procreate, which is
right.
true. But they are doing it for sexual reasons, just like when we have sex sometimes, we do it to dominate, or we do it for other non-procreational reasons. So animals are similar in that way. They have sex for different reasons. And that's one reason that we're talking about them. And I think we've pretty much run out of time. But I thank you so much, Malcolm, for joining us and
terrific.
Talking about this difficult subject.
Well, I thank you for having me on. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. You didn't make fun of me. You didn't give me any silly tests.
Absolutely.
I presume there will be no dedicated denial of service attack on my website.
No.
I don't think so.
No, we're very
open-minded. Most of our viewers are...
But again, trigger warning if you're just tuning in and you're going to tune in to the beginning. If zoophilia really bothers you, and I don't judge you for being bothered, but don't watch, okay? And if you're interested, if you fantasize, watch. And if you want to talk about it, if it's something that you've done or something that you fantasize about doing and you want to talk about it, you can't talk to most therapists about it. You certainly can't talk to most certified sex therapists about it. So you can talk to me, and I won't do weird things like happened with Malcolm in the Orgone box.
And if you want to become a therapist, call us and we'll certify you.
Oh yeah, we should certify people.
Right.
For our own
people
therapy.
That have been working for 10 years. And
but in the meantime,
5 years and,
we are talking to clients about all kinds of things, many many taboo things, and certainly whatever is in your mind. Is okay to talk about. Maybe not okay to do. I'm not going to say everything you think about is okay to do. I have judgment about a lot of things. But in terms of talking, have at it. And give us a call. Our telephone sex therapy number to talk to me, your mother confessor, or our therapist without borders. And Sunshine is now one of our therapists. She has just joined the therapy staff. Woo-hoo! So she's kind of a virgin to that. But she's done other things, so I don't feel I'm breaking in a virgin. She's been a peep show artist. So now you can call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497. We did get some other calls, but they were from people who want to talk about other kinds of sex. And we were so focused on talking with Malcolm that we stuck to it. So, you know, dolphin sex is interesting.
Next week, we're going to try to get to you.
But bonobo sex is even more interesting. Not humans having sex with bonobos. My book is not about that at all. And I have never had sex with a bonobo, although I did kiss Lana through the wall, through a glass wall. We had a kiss, and it was very powerful. It was what I call a profound interspecies experience. And I think I did have sex with Max later that night. So there was some level of opening and turn on
to it.
That's
on the cover. That's the
and this is Max's cover. You made this cover.
No, I'm talking about the photo.
Oh, the photo is from that day. Yeah, yes. Right. This is Lana. And Lana and I played games, and then she kissed me, and I kissed her back. Aww. And it was beautiful. So, you know, I'm learning. I'm always learning about this subject and always trying to help people to deal with it. So, meanwhile, bonobos make peace through pleasure, and we really need that. We really need to empower the females, make sure the males are happy, and stop the wars and stop the pollution. Make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you. I love you.
Talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves. But my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo. And help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to.